The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, live from East River 9, here's John and Lance.
It's time to talk a little golf.
Good morning, everybody. John and Lance along with RJ out here at East River 9. And what a beautiful morning. We want you to come on out and hang out with us here at this wonderful facility. We are in the bar, so come on by, have breakfast or lunch, and hang out
this
today. It is good. It is really good here. And so we are going to be here all day long with all the shows, and we're glad that you could be here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you've never been here, if you've never played this, it is so much fun. It's easy to get around. It takes you about an hour, hour and 15 minutes. It's a great time. You know, if you're on your way to work, if you can come in a little, get there a little bit late.
It takes you an hour, hour 15 to finish a round.
Yeah.
Not to get out here.
No.
Yeah. If you've never been out here, you know, it takes you about an hour, hour 15. He didn't mean to get out here. He meant a round of golf.
Oh, no. Yeah, you're right. We're looking at downtown Houston. So I don't know. If you're in Katy, it might take you an hour, hour and 15 minutes. Yeah, maybe. In Beaumont, it might take you an hour.
Took me about 18 minutes.
That's it.
And 17 minutes, and that's after I forgot we were coming here.
Yeah.
And I jumped out of bed and went, "East River 9!" I didn't change my alarm time for what I usually get set up, and I'm like, "Huh!" My wife said, "What does that mean?" She didn't know what it is. I literally jumped out and goes, "East River 9!" She said, "What does that mean?" And I said, "Oh, nothing. Bye." I forgot. Because I'm hitting snooze, and then I was like, spilled some coffee on my shirt.
Yeah, that's
but no, this is, and I think the mural they have there is maybe new, because you know we've been coming out here for, it's been a year now,
probably
with the first time about a year ago, or probably maybe a little less.
Less, I think, because it was cool out.
Yeah, doesn't exist
no,
now.
That does not
exist in this dojo. No. But yeah, and it's like they've added a little thing here, the thing in the parking lot, the things that are painted out there. They've added little things. Have they always had six pickleball courts, or did it used to be three? It was always six.
Pickleball's
the reason that caught me, the reason that caught my eye is, so I had a bunch of Real Sports, Bryant, it's still being taped on my DirecTV, and you know I eventually get to them, so I get to stuff late on there. But there's always great stories on there that, you know, that different things to expound on. And they were going through pickleball. And I'm like, well, this is interesting. Pickleball is so big. Pickleball has taken over tennis courts. Like Nick Bollettieri's stepson, who runs a place in L.A., they've had to – basically almost all the tennis stuff is gone, but they've quadrupled their membership with pickleball.
No, pickleball's the fastest-growing sport in America.
In America.
America.
It's got they've got 60-some-odd courts at this. Yeah. They've been changing tennis courts into pickleball courts. And so I see six. But a big part of it was it's so loud.
Yeah.
It's so loud, and pickleball is, that neighbors are having to move because they can't. It's driving them crazy. They can't even be in their home. They have to wear noise-canceling earphones.
So where I was a member at Pine Forest for a while. They're putting in pickleball courts, and they're putting them in right by number 9, White, as I understand it, which is, there's 27 holes, so there's three nines. And I don't think they really – but one of the guys goes, do you know how loud that's going to be? Does anybody have any idea?
It's plastic on plastic. And so apparently, apparently pickleball companies are trying to design like a little quieter ball or racket or whatever, because when you have a bunch of courts and a bunch of people are playing, it's like –
all right. Well, we'll see. Here, that's right, you can come and play here. I've been here at night before. It is packed. I mean, and a bunch of people
play. And it's everybody who plays.
Yes.
Young, old. I used to see older people at the YMCA and in one of the gyms where it's like, you know, they do all the sit and be fit stuff or whatever. The little
with the towel?
Older people with – well, no, but when they're
the
standing up
the towel lady sitting on the chair?
What's it called? Not calisthenics, but the
yoga? What are you talking about?
No, where you walk and do – it was big in the 80s where you did the
– I don't know what you're talking about.
Whatever Olivia Newton-John should do. Anyway.
I know what you're talking about now, and I don't remember what it is. Yeah.
Pilates?
No, I can't remember what it's called. It's aerobics.
Aerobics.
Thank you, Sean. Aerobics. So it's like older people were doing, you know, they used to do aerobics in this little gym, or karate would be. This is like the offset gym. It's like a gigantic, it almost looks like a gigantic handball thing. And then all of a sudden I started seeing older people with these small nets and hitting a ball over to each other. And I'm like, well, that looks like something me and my brother used to play literally in our.
You invented pickleball.
No, I 100% invented. Me and my brother would play with a trackball, which is basically that, and ping pong. Paddles. We would watch when I was a kid in Kansas, visit my grandparents. We'd go down in their basement and we'd set up chairs across there. And so, because we'd watch Wimbledon in the morning, and so then we would have our own tennis thing. So we would play, you know, a ping pong paddle, each of us, and a trackball, a plastic trackball.
Right.
And we would hit it over. It was basically pickleball.
You invented it.
I did invent it. I didn't know that other people found out about it. Mm-hmm. And so I would watch these people play, and I'm like, that looks like fun. Like, you could play that. That's an easy game that somebody could play.
Well, that's why it's so popular, because every age can play.
It was like 10, 12 years ago I saw that. And now,
look at that.
It's a monster.
No, it's
a monster. And they say they're growing it at a rate that they believe 40 million people in America will be playing it within 5 years.
Yeah.
40 million?
We should have manufactured pickleball.
Well, we can still get in on the pickleball thing. We can create our own pickleball place.
We can?
Okay. If we do... Just hear me out here. I told you the other day about my idea about a disc golf driving range.
Yeah.
If we do that and a pickleball place.
I'm pretty sure the pickleball will take over.
Those are the two fastest growing things.
No, it's really not. Frisbee.
And they do say, one guy said, the pickleball people are a-holes too. No matter what you give them, they want more. So if you give them eight courses, then they start demanding 12.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the pickleball people are a-hole. Like, what? What is going on? I'm doing all this just to avoid the Astros.
Whatever. Listen, well, our man right here walks in, gets some beers, got the menu ready to go, and he's throwing down already.
A
you can't
beer?
Be drunk all day unless you start in the morning. That's a great way to start your day here this morning at East River 9. Why don't you come on over, have a beer, and hang out here at East River 9. We're going to be here all day long. All the shows are here all day long. So this is the place to be. I don't know what the tee sheet looks like, but I'm pretty sure you're going to be able to come out here and get in. Just bring a small bag with about four clubs or so. 8-iron, 7-iron would be the lowest club
putter?
That you need.
Putter?
You need a putter for sure,
yep.
And you need a wedge, and you need your wedges, but you don't need more than a 7-iron, I don't think.
No, pretty much no.
And then get on out here. If it is a little bit longer than a 7-iron, oh, well, you're laying up. But you know, you just carry a few, make sure you bring some balls, but you carry a few sticks, and you get on out here and have some fun.
Is there water anywhere?
No, I don't think there's water, no. I'm pretty sure there's no water on the course. No, I don't think you have to hit over any water. I don't remember any. But we'll come on out. We're here all day long at East River 9. We're celebrating the U.S. Open. How much of the U.S. Open did you watch yesterday?
I watched I saw it in the evening, and I was like, oh, the replay. I need to see some of this.
No, it was live.
And he told me it was live.
It was live.
Yeah, I didn't see Ricky Fowler. He was already in.
Yeah.
He was already in with us.
So Ricky finished up about 3 o'clock. And that's when 1 o'clock. That's 1 o'clock. Well, 3 o'clock our time, which is 1 o'clock L.A. That's when the afternoon guys go off.
How long did this thing last?
Until 9 o'clock. Until 9 o'clock here.
Yeah, no, because this was late. I was like, there was no way this is. I didn't think there was any way this was real.
No, it was live. Yeah, no, you mean live. But, yes, it was
live.
Well,
yeah, not real.
It was real.
Yeah, but live. I didn't think there was any way this was live.
I'll bet you couldn't believe the scores,
no.
Which was the lowest
U.S. Open
in 90 years.
Nah, Scheffler and Ricky both threw low numbers at it. And then Rory was having a good round. He was 6-under and then had just this terrible shot where the announcer said, because I didn't see the shot and I had to wait for the replay because it's usually just the average guy playing out on his local course would make this shot. I'm like, well, how bad is this shot going to be?
Yeah. He played great, I'm telling you.
Yeah, he was 6 at the time.
Yeah.
What did he finish at?
Finished at 5, I believe.
Yeah. He bogeyed that hole.
But it's been a record because they've got this mist that comes in. And it makes it, the greens a little bit softer and receptive. What they want at the U.S. Open is these greens to be crusty and they can't hold the ball. I mean, they're going to try to do everything over the next 3 days to make this course a lot tougher. They do not like 8-under leading after day one. They do not like 71.28, which is the scoring average, which is under par, which never happens at the U.S. Open.
Well,
ever.
Usually, what is it? Usually, you take the first round score, maybe not for U.S. Open, but take the first round score. Multiply by 2.5, and that's what your the winner usually is in that neighborhood.
Yeah,
used to be.
Dick would say take the cut or after 2 days, and then add half of that, and that's what your score will probably
be.
Yeah, after 2 days, something like that. Anyway, so it was an historic day at the U.S. Open as far as scoring goes. Ricky Fowler and Xander Schauffele just unbelievable. Yesterday with 8-under, so it has been it is a beautiful course. So I learned yesterday, I didn't know this, but there at the LA Country Club, you're not allowed to wear shorts. They won't let you on the course with shorts on. If the people that bring a guest out there, they're not. Sorry, sir, we don't allow shorts.
Mm-hmm.
Which is okay. All right, we're pretty stuffy. It's a pretty stuffy place. As a matter of fact, there was a story that a guy told. He was there, I don't know, maybe 25 years ago. And he said Chuck Knoll, the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, after they had won 4 Super Bowls, he was one of the most acclaimed coaches, Hall of Fame coach. And he's out there as a guest of one of the guys. And one of the members asked him, "So, Mr. Knoll, what do you do for a living?" And he was like, "I coach the Pittsburgh Steelers." And he was like, "Oh, that's nice. That is nice. How's that going for you?" They don't.
Well, it was a while back.
They don't. No, this was 25 years ago.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Well, so, still a while back, 25 years ago.
Yeah, I guess.
Remember, every coach stays there for all of eternity. Three coaches.
Right, that's it.
It's one of the most insane storylines in sports is that the Pittsburgh Steelers have had like Noel
Cowher,
Bill Cowher, and also Mike Tomlin.
That's it.
They stay forever.
Yeah. If you become the Steelers, that's the kind of security I want.
Yeah, this is like 16 years.
Supreme
Court
Justice.
They're also pretty good. Although there were some times that Cowher, I remember doing a radio show, we thought Cowher was going to get fired. He ran into a couple, 2 or 3 seasons that were very average, and they stuck with them, and then all of a sudden, bing, Super Bowl.
Well, let's talk about Tomlin this year because he's had a winning record every season, right, until this year?
Yeah.
Until this past year?
He's been here, 16 years?
Yeah.
And then Chuck Knoll before them.
Uh-huh. And, yeah, no. Is there any other franchise that's had?
No.
You know, well, we Casey Stengel was there forever.
We had 3 coaches in 3 years with the Texans.
Yeah, but we're the Texans.
I know.
I mean.
They're hiring Bill Cowher, Chuck Knoll, Mike Tomlin, we got David Culley.
No, we don't have David.
We had him.
We did. I know. I don't want to talk about that anymore.
I know. That's over. We got D'Amico now.
We got D'Amico, and that's right. We got your favorite.
We got a break because I want to get through. Yesterday was a sneaky, wild day of sports. A lot of things, a lot of stories happened yesterday. A lot, a surprising amount. And so I want to get to those. I want to try to see if I can run through all of those, and we'll have like on the interesting meter, 1 through 10, where it falls for you.
Okay. We'll do that on the other side. But right now we're talking about hoops. ProDunk.com. ProDunk.com. It is the place for you to go and get your basketball on. The kids love this goal. I mean, you can go and staple a goal to your garage, and you know what, 10 feet, and the kids will never play. The rim is going to be bent. The big backboard's going to be white, and the paint's going to be chipping, and it's going to be awful. Or you can get the best goal in the history of goals with the Pro Dunk, and you can lower and raise and lower the goal so that the kids can actually enjoy it. You know, the big kids, they can play on a 10-foot goal, but, Dad, we can't play. We can't get the ball up to the 10 feet when we're little. We want to have fun. We want to dunk. We want to dunk like Jaylen, okay? That's what we want to do. We want to pretend we're really, really good. And how we can do that and how we're going to have all our friends over and how we're actually going to go outside and enjoy it is because we lower the goal and we dunk. When you go on the website, ProDunk.com, you're going to see all the pictures. That's all the kids are doing is dunking. You can have that in your house as well. All you need to do is go to ProDunk.com. ProDunk.com. Tell Keith Tate that you heard it right here.
The summer circuit rolls on from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, live from East River 9. Here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. So where do you want to start on the news?
All right, let's start with Houston Astros. Astros, it was not a dominant game by Christian Javier, but it was also a successful game by Christian Javier. It's not typical of his punch
out
total.
So many pitches.
Yeah, a lot of pitches, 38, 54 strikes, 38 balls, if I remember correctly. Got into the through 92 pitches, gave up 4 hits, only 2 strikeouts.
He went dominant. Not like him.
He wasn't dominant, but they also didn't score on him. And then so he did his job. The first two relievers did their job. And then, and offensively you were struggling to make anything happen. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You sucked.
Bunch of zeros. Bunch of zeros.
Bunch of nothing.
A little bit of a change in the lineup. You had Chazzy.
Yeah.
Chazzy Fizz.
For whatever reason.
Hitting 1.
Yeah.
Altuve 2. You had Pena down at 6. It was a little different. It was a little different lineup. It wasn't crazy, but because, I'm not used to seeing Chaz up there, but okay. Dusty's just checking out some things, just seeing how some things look.
It
didn't bother me that much, except, I still like to see Pena up at 1. But Dusty is... For being an old school player / manager, he's willing to be a little more active with changing lineups. But anyway, so then you get to Ryan Pressly, and Pressly
no score. Bottom of the top of the ninth. Pressly comes in, first batter, home run.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, just like oh my goodness, what is the matter with dude? I mean, that is six. Last 7 outings, he's given up a run.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's bad.
Yeah, it has not been good. Then the Astros get a run back in the bottom half.
Yiner with 2 outs, a base hit up the middle.
Huge, because he's a guy who hasn't ever since we were pining for him to stay in longer because he was hot. He hasn't been hitting.
Well, how about that he pinch hit him for jolts?
Yeah.
I mean, that's given a lot of confidence. 2 rookies.
Yeah.
You take the 1 out, and Jolks has come up with some big hits with his team.
Absolutely.
But he's got a lot of confidence in Yiner right now.
No, and Diaz with the base knock, and you score the run, you get in there, and then Maton has a rough next inning, can't get out of it. Just not a good inning for Phil Maton.
And, but he's been really good this year, so.
He has, but he hasn't been as good here over the last month. And – He's had a couple of moments that weren't great, but after that, they hung 3 more on you, so it was 4-1, and then they closed you out. So what's a little different about that is that Ryan Pressly continues to struggle, and that is a concern for the Houston Astros because it's not like sure this wasn't a safe situation, but this was also a situation where Ryan Pressly. Is not at his best right now. offense didn't get going. When the offense doesn't get going, you're supposed to be pulled in by your pitching staff. Well, the first two relievers did their job, and Christian Javier did his job. You got to have Ryan Pressly, your best reliever, do his job as well. And he's gotten cold, and the bats are cold. Ryan Presley's cold. You had a good game the other day from Fromber, and then Fromber's W went out the door.
Yeah.
Because of Pressly as well. So. Yeah, it was Pressly.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit of a concern. You lose yesterday 4-1, but more importantly, you're in a little bit of a funk offensively, obviously, but also
it's man, so hot and cold.
Why are we just saying obviously you're in a funk offensively? I mean, I hate that I have to say that for the Astros, but this is something the last couple of years that has become a reality.
Yeah, without Yordan, obviously, that you're gonna struggle.
Altuve, Bregman, and Tucker. Yeah, obviously you're gonna struggle to score runs with Peña, Altuve, Bregman, and Tucker all in the lineup. That shouldn't be a thing.
And Abreu, the way he's been hitting lately. He came up in a couple of situations yesterday that you thought, okay, here, let's keep it going.
And he didn't. But, I mean, that should not be a thing where we should just say, well, obviously you're going to struggle without Yordan because you only have Bregman. You're spending a lot of money on – well, Tucker's going to get a lot of money, but Tucker, Bregman, Altuve, and, you know, Peña's not a lot of money, but this is the World Series MVP. I mean, that should be enough. Hey, that's more offense than any of Bagwell and Biggio's offenses had before Lance Berkman got there.
Yeah, well,
that's way more. Maybe even with Berkman, that's, you know, we're talking same level stuff. Altuve with, you got Tucker with Berkman and Altuve Bregman with Baggy to an extent, and then you got, you know, Biggio with Altuve. There's enough here to score more runs than what they're scoring right now.
No, yeah, there's enough. They're just in a funk. We'll see.
I'll go back down. So here's some other ones. We've already covered U.S. Open, but the 62s that they're firing at the course and the low scores was highly unusual for a U.S. Open. You had Conor McGregor yesterday accused of sexual assault. Turns out he was accused of four different times of sexual assault outside the U.S., but none of them ever stuck. This one looks a little messier in terms of what he's being accused of. His team is saying he's not going to be intimidated, his legal team. I don't know what happened, but you've got the details.
Yeah, in the police report, the word violently sexually assaulted a woman is in there. Apparently, in the letters, Mitchell says security refused to let the woman. They forced her into the men's bathroom, where McGregor and his security guard were already inside. They wouldn't allow her to leave. There's some stuff. He shoved his tongue in the victim's mouth and aggressively kissed her. Then he forced her to perform stuff, and then he tried to
force her to try to do this or to do this.
Forced her to have oral sex with him.
Okay, so it was forced and to do that. It wasn't to try. Didn't try.
Pin her against the wall before attempting
other stuff.
Sodomy.
Mm-hmm.
So this is serious. This is something that is this will be all play out. We're not a court of law or whatever. If this was someone else, I would say, really? I don't know. She called the police the next day. She called the police and her legal team, and okay, you know the. If it's Conor McGregor, however, you got to go. Okay, I guess I could kind of believe
he's
this.
He's got some of this in his background.
He does,
or at least accusations of it. So. It does make you – now, she's saying that the NBA's security – she's coming after NBA security and Conor McGregor's security here, is claiming that they both were in basically cahoots with this as well. So some of this seems a little bizarre, and yet there's stuff in the background, and I never want to discount what anyone says. But I also have to – you know, you have to let this play out. But at the same time, you know, he does have a history of – he has a history of not just the sexual stuff, the attack on the bus with Khabib.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Conor is – I just watched his documentary on Netflix, which is really
punching
good.
Punching the old man because he didn't want to do a shot of his whiskey.
The proper 12, yeah. Yeah, so he's like – he's an impulsive guy. Conor is a very interesting guy. I think – I watched his doc. He is a really fun guy to watch and very interesting to follow. But he's got a dark side, too.
Yep.
And so – You have to. So that was something. You know, the big story was he sent the mascot to the ER because he punched him too hard in a skit. Well, now that's not the big story.
No, apparently that wasn't the only thing that he had done that night.
Yeah.
Apparently, then she was able to elbow McGregor repeatedly, which gave her a window to escape. She allegedly fled in a hurry, and she left her purse. And she said that the security guards held her purse hostage until she pleaded with them for its return. We'll see if any of this, security guards, if any of them step up and say and will admit to any of this stuff that went on.
You can forget that.
Maybe not. I don't know. We'll see.
The Connors security guards?
Or the NBA. We'll see.
We'll see what happens. Also, Ray Lewis III, son of Ray Lewis, died yesterday at the age of 28. His brother posted it on Instagram stories. Yeah, his younger brother. No news on, you know, what transpired or how it happened, but what a just a devastating loss for that family. He played some college football as well, but a 20-year-old son of Ray Lewis, Ray Lewis III, passed away yesterday. You got this story, so that's kind of a different kind of story. Cyclists were disqualified for grabbing onto cars for a boost. What is this, like, just kids in Iowa on Main Street just grabbing onto the grabbing onto the bumper and just getting a lift or something? What's it called?
It's called skitching. Where you? It's got to be snow on the
ground. Wait, you did that too?
We did
that
all the time.
Wait, what, skitching?
Skitching. Yeah, it's called skitching.
What do you mean snow on the ground?
Skiing. It's skitching. Skitching. Whatever. And you grab onto the bumper. And not on a bike, no, on snow. There's got to be snow on the ground.
You did
obviously,
it with your shoes?
With your shoes, yeah. 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 But there was snow on the ground, so you didn't. Now, if you hit a dry patch, you'd hurt yourself.
Well, these are cyclists.
Yeah, right.
These are cyclists who are performing grabbing onto cars for a boost. That was a little wild, and maybe one of the wildest stories yesterday was, okay, not only did the U.S. beat El Tri, they beat Mexico 3-0 yesterday, which is a really good win, but that match had to be stopped. That match had to be stopped because they kept dropping P-bombs in Spanish.
Yeah.
They do this a lot to the U.S. players. It rhymes with Luto.
Right.
And
starts with a P. It's a homophobic slur.
Uh-huh. And they were, so with 12 minutes to go, the referee stopped the entire match at 3-0. And that wasn't even the craziest part. The craziest part is Greg Berhalter's back as the manager.
Yeah.
Was named after the match was over. That news dropped also that, oh, yeah, by the way, our old manager, who we were getting rid of, that all of you had already previously said, yeah, it was time for him to go anyway. Strategically, he's not the right guy, this, that, and the other. But he was gone. He was gone not because of World Cup stuff. He was gone because Gio Reyna's parents, Claudio Reyna and his wife, had kind of gotten pissed off at him, for those who either forgot this or didn't know, and really tried to bring up something that happened
30 years
prior, yeah, where he kicked his then-girlfriend in the leg at a bar when they got into it, and they brought that up as quote-unquote domestic violence, and they've been married for, you know, 25 years, I think. And so what happened was they investigated. So he was out, and so we had just assumed, okay, he's out because of this. But also the U.S. was maybe going to go in a different direction. The U.S., after having two different coaches that were managers that were interim, the guy who was brought in to oversee getting a new manager, basically they cleared him saying, okay, number one, that was a misdemeanor. There's nothing that he withheld that, you know, a felony, you got to tell. Misdemeanor, it's nothing he withheld. They were confident that no rules of theirs had been broken. And so they ended up going back to him, which almost feels like they couldn't. It almost feels like they circled back to, well, I guess we'll just go with Berhalter.
Or Berhalter is good, and all of this crap we just.
Well, Glenn Davis told us that he might not. You know, we're going to bring Glenn Davis on at 8:30, but Glenn Davis told us he might not be the best. Like, he's great in terms of getting together the team, the organizational stuff. But so we'll talk to Glenn Davis about that. But that was pretty wild to see a match in because of homophobic slurs. And the coach who I thought was long gone, he's back.
And by the way, Pulisic had two goals.
Yeah.
And we beat El Tri 3-0. Yeah. So good for us. Good on us. And you can stop your homophobic slurs, okay? Yeah. Mexico, yeah. Stop already.
Yeah.
Okay? We'll have none of that.
And also...
We'll have none of that here. We don't believe...
Also, Pablo Escobar all the time in Narcos.
Yeah, he says that
and
a lot.
And everybody in Narcos, Mexico.
Yeah. Well, right. They say that word a lot. And
yeah.
It's disheartening, if you want to know the truth.
Something madre. Madre.
No, that's different. Well, that's different.
Yeah.
That's...
What about hijo...
Yeah, that's different too. That's
de la gran ching.
Yeah, no, that's
what about that one?
Yeah,
that's, is that different?
All different. All
is that
different.
What's that? Is that a slur? Does that mean
it's a bad thing to say to people? That so Maddie needs to stop. Okay.
No, she just.
It's time for me to talk about Houston Powder Coaters. That's what it's time for. It's time for me to tell you that if you've got anything that's metal, and look, you got a business, right? And your fence is all rusted out, or you know, if you've got a giant Ferris wheel downtown. Oh, that's right, Houston Powder Coaters fixed that. They came there and did it there. It's not like you can bring the Ferris wheel over to their facility on the Hardy Toll Road. So they just went there and did it. They've got a laser that they can fix your stuff on site. If you're a business and you need to get your stuff right, then they'll come to you. So if you're looking for the best way to get your metal looking great, you want to keep that metal. Oh, by the way, replacing furniture, patio furniture, good luck with that. Have you seen the prices? It's unbelievable. They will pick up your patio furniture, and they will deliver it absolutely free. And they'll make it look perfect. The facility is second to none. The workmanship, how they primp and they prime and they get it done, everything done perfectly, it's unbelievable. Five stars. Everything seems to be perfect. It is HoustonPowderCoaters.com. HoustonPowderCoaters.com. Tell them you heard it right here.
Hey, Allstate Windows and Siding is important to know, especially right now, for those of you who are noticing during this, and you'll really start to notice here over the next few days, when it's over 100 degrees, and it feels like, because the dew point is so high, yesterday it was 77%, which is stifling. It's oppressive. And if you start to feel warmer in your home when the AC's on, if the AC never turns off, if you have issues with, with feeling the air conditioning leave your home, feeling a warmer draft come in, means you have leaky windows. And it's the number one culprit when it comes to higher energy bills is having inefficient windows. When you have energy efficiency, like having new windows installed, retrofit and installed, that are windows made right here in Texas for Texas tough weather, you are going to see a difference in your energy bills. It can be up to 40%. That's what it can be, up to 40% difference with your energy bills when you have new windows. And that seems like you think, man, that's a ton. Well, you have leaky windows. The AC is simply not working the way it's supposed to, and it's always warmer in your home. And the same thing can be true with your siding. You can get complete siding jobs and get big discounts from Allstate Windows and Siding. So that's the great thing is, not only do they have top-notch products, not only is the installation quality and do they keep a clean web job site, but they also have deep discounts for ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 listeners. Make sure you mention me when you give them a call at 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936, or go to AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, live from East River 9, it's time to rejoin the undisputed best sports talk show in Houston. It's Clearly John and Lance on ESPN 97.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. We are live at East River 9, going to be here all day long celebrating the U.S. Open, which got underway yesterday with a record low scores out there at L.A. Country Club North. So we'll see if they don't toughen up the course today. They don't expect wind, you know, and they don't, and it's not going to be crusty. There is a mist that comes in off of the ocean that keeps it moist, which makes it a lot easier for the guys. It's not so moist that you can't, you know, you don't get any roll, but it's so moist that the greens are receptive. We'll see what they do if they can't toughen up the course, because the USGA does not like -8, does not like the 71.28 scoring average, which is the lowest that they've seen So this is something that will hopefully maybe change today. We're not trying to embarrass the greatest golfers in the world, Lance. We're trying to identify them.
Okay? Yeah.
That's what we're doing here.
Well, some courses we've seen over the years have been ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, there have been some ridiculous holes, ridiculous greens.
And you usually
slopes that where you barely miss a putt and it ends up 70 feet
yes.
past the hole.
No, that's stupid. What they usually do is they narrow the fairways. These are the widest fairways that they've seen in a while at a U.S. Open, which is different. Usually they narrow the fairways and make the rough so difficult that you can't play out of it. There are plenty of places that are difficult, but these fairways are wider than they're used to in a U.S. Open, so they're hitting the fairways. And when they hit the fairways and they hit the greens and the greens are receptive, they're gonna destroy them because these guys are good. These guys are good. So we'll see if they don't toughen it up. Our Astros lose last night 4-1, a nothing game going into the ninth inning, and they end up losing 4-1. Phil Maton did not look good. Ryan Pressly. Okay, we can stop blaming me and Lance for Ryan Pressly's demise, okay, because he had already blown two saves before he came into studio with us. It's now, since he's been in studio with us, he has been really, really bad. But he had already blown two saves going into these last couple of outings in which he's been really, really not good. So maybe it's not our fault, just so we can stop saying that. We can stop saying that, Craig in Texas. Can we talk about having Pressly in studio and now he sucks? He doesn't suck. He's having a rough stretch. Even the greatest of all time have had a rough stretch, and I'm not insinuating that Ryan Pressly is the greatest of all time, but he's been much better than this. This is rough. When he gave up that home run last night, he was like, the expression on his face was like, "What the hell is going on? I have no idea what's going on."
Yeah, he has these moments sometimes, and it's not great right now. It's not great, and you can't afford to if your goal is to have home field, you can't afford to be losing these. When Javier and Fromber give you good, now you still won the Fromber game, but when Javier gives you what he gave you and the bullpen right after him, you got to knock those out. I mean, you're at home, you got to beat the Nationals.
You can't take two out of three. You got to sweep that.
Yeah,
you need to sweep the Reds too. Well, they're pitching.
Sweep
sucks.
Them with the pitchers on the mound for you. You got to sweep the Nationals.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you need to sweep the Reds in town now. It'll be interesting. I can't wait to see Elly De La Cruz. While he's not a great hitter, he's a lot of fun. If he gets an extra base hit, dude, it could easily be and what was a double for most people, it could be a triple for him. He flies. That's fun. That is fun to watch. We'll see Elly De La Cruz coming up here tonight and all weekend long right here at Minute Maid Park. The Texans have been going through. Now, surprise you a little bit that the Jets canceled minicamp?
Mike Tannenbaum said he gave them an F,
an
for,
F
that.
For that.
He was upset about it. It doesn't, after talking to my buddy with the Jets, it doesn't really surprise me. They felt like they got a lot of work done. I think this is an Aaron Rodgers thing again.
Yes.
Everything they keep doing, they do. They brought in an offensive lineman who was Billy Turner. They brought in Billy Turner, who was with Aaron Rodgers forever with Green Bay. They're doing all these little Randall Cobb, Billy Turner, obviously Alan Lazard. I mean, they're making a lot of moves to make Aaron Rodgers happy. I think this one was also, hey, let's keep Aaron in good spirits. Let's shut this down now. I don't know that for a fact, but I do know that he was having a really good camp and that he was working great with his young receivers. They were extremely happy with their offensive line. You know, some of his they may want to make sure that they keep Mekhi Becton, who's been hurt the last 2 years, make sure he stays healthy. He's 340 pounds this year, which is great for him. I mean, he's been up in the 380 to 400 range over the last couple of years at different times. He's in really good shape at 340. That's a very lean mass. That's very lean mass. He's a massive person. It's 340. He carries it with a lot of muscle mass, so he looks great right now. I think they want to keep him as healthy as possible. They want to keep Rodgers as healthy
well,
as possible.
Well, and Aaron's not all about that whole off-season practice stuff, so probably a big reason.
Plus,
they are going to start a week earlier than everybody else
yeah.
because of the Hall of Fame game
Yeah, so that probably makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I personally don't have a problem with it.
No, Mike Tannenbaum obviously had a problem. Now, it would be nice if you're them to, you know, Aaron Rodgers is new. Now, he does have a lot of his own receivers that he's got. But there are the Wilsons and the other guys that have to get used to Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, three less days. You're going to get
them.
They
have three undrafted free agents that I thought I gave them all draftable grades. And I was asking Rex about them, and he's like, dude, they're all doing well. T.J. Luther was one of them. A bunch of guys you guys wouldn't know them, but I remember looking at that and going, wow, they've got some guys. They did a really good job on this. And the guy I think could be out. Just looking at their entire roster, I think Denzel Mims could end up having a hard time sticking around, and Corey Davis, those two veterans. Because when you look at, you know, I don't want to get too far into Jets football.
No,
you know,
but deep dive into Jets Corey football, Davis or Denzel Mims are available. You know what wide receiver room could use a little upgrade?
Yeah, well, a lot actually. You know, that could be a look for if DeAndre Hopkins doesn't go to New England, they could take a look at Corey Davis. I mean, if Corey Davis got cut right now, it looks like this: Allen Hardman, Mecole Hardman, Garrett Wilson are your. Alan Lazard, I don't know if I said Lazard. Alan Lazard, Garrett Wilson, Mecole Hardman are your top three. Then comes Corey Davis, Denzel Mims, Randall Cobb. That makes six. And then you got the guys that I like are Xavier Gibson from Sam Houston or Stephen F. I think Sam Houston, Stephen F. Jason Brownlee, who is going to make the team, I think, from Southern Miss. And then this kid T.J. Luther, it's got some ability. Probably two of those guys will end up on practice squad, but. I mean, Randall Cobb, I guess, will make the team because he's Aaron's guy. You may have a hard time sticking around if you're Denzel Mims or Corey Davis. Corey Davis is probably going to be the cap casualty, would be my guess. And you know, Dwayne Brown right now he's your starting left tackle over there, and they got Mekhi Becton either left or right. So Dwayne Brown is still in football.
How about that? When the Texans didn't want to pay him in...
They didn't want to give him guaranteed money for another couple of years.
What year?
That was like 16, I believe.
Or before? Was it 16?
No, I remember which office I was in for my football stuff. So I think it was 16.
16? But that's 7 years ago now that the Texans were like, we'll let him go.
Yeah, I don't know how much football he has left.
Yeah.
They didn't want to give him too long. Like we don't know about giving him two more years extended.
Well, and he was great in Seattle, too.
2 more years extended.
On top
of
that.
16 was his. He got traded in 17. Remember, he was 16 offseason. 17 is when he got traded.
17 is when he made the, I didn't want to say accusations, but the illusion that Bob McNair was racist.
Yeah, he went.
Which
he said what he needed to say, even though all of the. Every black person in a position of power there all had his back. I mean, from formerly with Kevin Cooper was there at the time, and then you had obviously Tony Wiley, Rick Smith. They were all like, we lead the league in diversity in front office hiring. But anyway,
he put Rick Smith in charge of what would be running his legacy. Bob McNair's legacy isn't. Mm-hmm. Cogent, it is the Houston Texans.
Right.
And he put an African-American, a black man, in charge of that, making sure that
it was as good as could possibly be.
So that whole narrative was crap.
But Dwayne Brown knew how to get out of there.
Yeah, he did. That's right.
And that's
all you had to do.
And he only came back so that he could get traded. So he came back to the Texans, got traded, and he played, one game for the Texans? Yeah, he played one game for the Texans. I think it was a Seattle game. That he came back where Deshaun ended up he got hurt in practice.
Yep.
That's right. So, and then he was with Seattle for the next 5 years.
Yep.
And then he played for the Jets last year. He's 30. He's going to be 38 this year.
There's
as long
a
as
lot
you're an athletic.
Old,
well, Dwayne keeps himself in shape.
Yeah,
too.
Right, absolutely. Look at Trent Williams, though. Look at Andrew Whitworth.
Keep yourself in shape and you avoid knee injuries and lower body injuries, you can play a while.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to take a break. Let's talk about the Texans offensive line. We'll hear from D'Amico on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 when we come back. But right now, I'm talking about Chastain Ford and my people over at Chastain Ford. And Man, every day I get into my truck, and I love it. I don't know about you if you love your vehicle, but I do love mine. And I'm telling you, it was all because of Chastang Ford and what they've done for me. And listen, you can order. If you're somebody – I love my Lightning. And if you're somebody that wants to order a Lightning, get to ChastangFord.com or get to the dealership and talk to them and see if you can't get on the list to get yourself one of those. I'm telling you, I love it, and you will love it too. And, if you don't want electric, that's fine, too. By the way, they have gas vehicles. Yes, they do. And they have, they've got hybrids as well in F-150s. They've got everything you could possibly want. Plus, they've got all the pre-owned vehicles, too. And they're going to do the best to get you into that vehicle with as inexpensively as possible, with the best interest rates that they can find for you, at the price that you have to be at, with no add-ons and no markups, because it's what they do every day. You're looking for the best way to get that Ford car, truck, or whatever pre-owned vehicle that's on the lot. You do it through Chastang Ford. I'm telling you, you'll get the best deal on that Ford car or truck at ChastangFord.com on 610 at Homestead, 9 Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown Chastang Ford.
John Granato at 17. Should be the birdie in my sports installment. Oh, my. He lipped it.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, live from East River 9, here's John and Lance.
Thank you, Spencer. I miss a lot of putts. My putting has been atrocious lately. Atrocious. I can't hit a two-footer.
It was horrible at T-Box, Texas.
It was awful. Dude, I four-putted twice.
In your simulation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awful right now. Awful. Tee to green. I think I'm picking up a lot of strokes on the people, but once I'm on the green, it's awful.
You're going Ryan Pressly right now. You can't close.
Yeah.
You can't close. You get all the way to the ninth inning, and look what happens.
Yeah. I am Ryan Pressly. I'm the Ryan Pressly of golf right now. Awful. This is a story I saw during the break. Stephen A, you know Pat Sajak is retiring. Stephen A wants the Wheel of Fortune job.
Can this man just, you know what? There's no,
you know what
people,
you make on that, though?
No one's concerned about, I understand we have a major concern about immigration right now, but no one's taking our jobs more than Stephen A. Smith.
He does take
Stephen
all
A. Smith
of our
is
jobs.
Taking everyone's job.
He took our job.
Stephen A. Smith does radio. Stephen A. Smith does TV. I don't know that he does. Yeah, he still does. Oh, did he stop doing radio? Okay. So he stopped doing radio. Well, he was at our station last year.
He's on every show on ESPN.
He does his own podcast. Yep. He does TV.
He does NBA.
He's his own show. He does NBA. Yep. He's still on the show that my wife used to watch with Sonny, a soap opera. Did you know he's on a soap opera? He comes on a soap opera?
Who, Stephen A?
Yes.
What soap opera?
Yes.
General Hospital.
Yeah, GH.
He is?
Yes.
What's he doing?
Stephen A. comes on General Hospital, but not as Stephen A. Smith. I think he's a private
I'm
investigator.
I'm sorry, Luke and Laura. We got big problems here. I've noticed that your son has been doing things I didn't want to tell you before. However, I feel like it's very necessary for me to tell you that Michael is mixed up in the wrong stuff.
He's like a private investigator.
He might be my illegitimate child.
So you got Stephen A. doing that. Now he wants to do Pat Sajak's job. I give him credit, man. That guy works. That guy puts in work. You know who's not going to put up with players sitting out and getting paid? Stephen A. Smith. He's like,
no.
Stephen A. don't want to hear about you sitting out because you're tired. Kristaps Porzingis always being too tired to play. That ain't gonna work for him. Zion sitting out because he doesn't feel right. Stephen A. is not gonna hear it because nobody works more than Stephen A. Smith.
No, Mark Berman, and now he's retired.
I know.
Nobody.
Now yeah. Stephen A. works the most. And so, he wants Pat Sajak's job. How do you have time to do all that?
I have no idea.
My gosh.
Let's talk right now about D'Amico and the offensive line. D'Amico, they're out there. Okay, and it seems like it's going to be a pretty good offense. I think it's going to be a pretty good. We got, you know, Kenyon Green is a question mark on this offensive line. What they're going to do, apparently Questenberry's been getting a lot of starts at center. as opposed to juice. So that's been happening
out there. It's a rookie.
Yeah.
I mean, and Questenberry is an athletic, a more athletic player. Like, I, honestly, the juice thing, the only thing that concerned me on that one is I don't feel like he's a real great fit for zone scheme stuff, getting up and getting guys cut off. So, yeah, so I was a little surprised to see the Texans drafting because I thought he was more of a power.
Well, here is D'Amico's assessment of the offensive line.
Yeah, I do. I feel like all our guys are in a great mental state, and they know what we're up against. They know the challenges ahead, right? And if guys want to be a part of it, they'll come back and prove to their teammates that they are up to that challenge and they're ready to work.
Now, we have seen guys turn their careers around. We saw Kareem Jackson, who was awful his rookie year. Josh Allen, they wanted to run him out of town. I mean, these are exceptional guys, though, now. They're still a little bit different. Kenyon Green was awful last year.
But he was a first-rounder, too.
He was a first-rounder, too, 15th.
Well, I would say that Kareem Jackson was pretty bad his rookie year.
No. I know, but is it it's
and Kenyon was
is it more unusual to turn your career around right away, or is that something that's
no? It's not unusual to go from struggling as a rookie. It's actually not that, especially as an offensive lineman. It's not that unusual. I think that everything he's got is correctable with technique. Technique work can correct a lot of what he had. Confidence is something that I think can wane sometime for offensive linemen. So I'm actually not as worried about – now, give me a second year, and then I'll start to worry after a second year. I can't worry about a rookie offensive lineman. My dad has had guys who really struggled early in their careers and then got a lot better. I'm not too worried.
I can tell you what I can do. What I'm going to do if I'm a defensive coordinator, if I'm the Titans, I'm going to put Jeffrey Simmons on him until he until he busts.
Well,
I'm going to put DeForest Buckner on him until he busts.
Yeah, but we're going to slide our protection that way so he'll constantly have double team help. He'll have center sliding to him all the time if you do that. So I think more than likely what teams may do is they may decoy over to him and run little stunts and twists and, you know, bring linebackers over the top into that A-gap on the opposite side. So, yeah, you don't want to have a weakness on the inside in pass protection. That's why so many teams –
especially with a rookie quarterback.
No, because so many teams have gone to – yeah, a guy with, I think, is kind of average mobility. Teams have gone to drafting tackles and moving them to guard because they like that pass protection background from tackles. Kenyon doesn't have that. He played tackle, but out of necessity. He's really a guard. He's not a tackle who moved inside to guard. He's a guard who had to play some tackle at A&M, and he wasn't great at tackle, I didn't think. I think he's a really good run blocker who had to work on things in pass pro, and it showed as a rookie. He had issues as a rookie. There's no question. And what really concerns me a little bit is he didn't really anchor great at times. Like, he got pushed.
He was making mental mistakes.
That's a problem. That's a concern. So you got two things. You either get better bend and better leverage, and you get your feet right, and you get your hand play. You know, you get your time your punches better. You know, there's stuff like that. Or you got a concern about core strength. I think he's strong. My concern with him, without looking at him right now on tape, is that he's maybe not getting enough bend to get leverage. And if you get too stiff in your lower body, I don't care how strong you are, you can be the biggest, strongest guy. You can't. You're high man. Your pads are too high. You're always going to lose that battle. So that's a – if you see him getting pushed around this year too much into the pocket, now I'm getting concerned.
Yeah. Hopefully he learned something this offseason and will be better. But I think he's the key to the offensive line. He is the key. Titus has been good.
I'm going to tell you something that may surprise you a little bit. He had been asked – I asked him at Men Lose camp. He had a big man camp that he came and worked, Kenyon Green, and it was before the draft. I said, anyone ask you to snap? He said, yeah, some teams wanted me to snap for them too, just to see how much flexibility along the offensive line. For me personally, I don't think the Texans are thinking this, but at some point I might consider, if it doesn't look great at guard, I'm giving him reps at center because he's athletic enough to play zone scheme stuff, and he's the center position might be where – you know, you eventually want to look at him. Now, you drafted Juice Scruggs kind of early. Maybe Juice can play some guard. I think he can play some guard. Maybe he's actually pretty strong, too, at the point of attack. So you could eventually, one of the things they might want to look at doing if this becomes an issue for Kenyon Green is flip-flopping Scruggs to guard and Kenyon Green into center. But center, he would have to prove he can snap, and I don't know. You know, he did at his pro day. He snapped for some teams. But I don't know, you know, I don't know if Kenyon, and that's down the road. You want him to succeed.
Yeah.
You drafted him, what, 12, 13? You want him to succeed at guard.
Wasn't he 15? Was he 15?
No, he was earlier than that.
He was?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, he was 12. They had 13.
It was a 13?
13, yeah.
Lucky number.
No, there was 13 this year. I think it was 15. Anyway, 713-780-3776. Live from East River 9. Right here in the middle of the city. Beautiful morning. Get on out there. This is the time to go and play. It seems like there's a little, I mean, the sun's not out, that's for sure. There's a cloud over the city. Maybe that's just all pollution. I don't know. But I don't care because you can't, it's not sunny.
I noticed this morning. Well, I can tell you what. Maybe it's the blanket of heat that's coming in.
It could be. There is a blanket of heat that's coming. Now, it's supposed to be hot. But so what? Get over here now. Start drinking, right? When are you going to play?
Water.
Are you playing today?
Start drinking water.
Yeah, you're going to play later?
Start drinking
water.
You're
going to wait until it gets really hot? Good move. This is the time to go out there.
You don't have to stay out super long on a par 3 course.
No, you're only going to be out there for an hour and a half in that neighborhood. So get on out here and play East River 9 today. Join our shows. Hang out in the bar. Let's go.
All right,
we're here
under,
all day long.
Over under weather today, 99.5. Over under.
Over.
Not feels like.
No.
Because currently the high is expected to be 99, but that always seems like it's too low here in Texas.
I'm going over.
I'm
going to
go over.
John Clay Wolf will give you over whatever you think you're going to get for your vehicle. That's what I'm going. I'm going over on John Clay Wolf paying you for your car or truck. Listen, it's got to be more than a couple $1,000 car, right? Okay, he's not gonna be doing that. But whatever, if it's $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 vehicle, it doesn't matter to John Clay Wolf. The nicer the vehicle, the more he's going to give you. He ain't scared of giving you top dollar for whatever that is. You got a real fancy car, $100,000, whatever or more. John Clay Wolf ain't scared. John Clay Wolf did $2 billion in car buys last year. Oh, $2 billion. That is a lot. He's all over the country now. He started in Dallas and here, and he has worked this thing up into one of the best car buying, if not the best. He's the best car buyer in the nation because, in large part, because of you, and in large part because of how he does it. Gives you more for your vehicle. So if you want to sell your vehicle, I know where you got to go. You have to go to givemethevin.com. That's givemethevin.com.